Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Stock Market Today. It's Ali Coram and Mike Webster here with the breakdown of the action in today's session, Friday, April 19th, where we saw the bull market precedent break wide open. It was hanging by a thread heading into today, Webby. And I mean, after last Friday's expectation breaker and Monday's slice below the 50-day line, I mean, this was a pretty ugly week.
It really was. And, you know, that's why we talked about the expectation breaker last week, because I think everyone should go back and rewatch that so they can see the examples of the expectation breakers, because this pretty much played out exactly that way. We were hoping it wasn't going to. I was hoping that the 2003 precedent that we talked about, we're going to revisit it later, that was going to hold, but it didn't hold. So it's out. We throw it out and we move forward. But that expectation breaker that we had last Friday was our clue. And then on Monday, we had a gap up. And as we talked about on the morning on IBD Live, was when you get a gap up like that after an expectation breaker, that was your chance to unload. And we let people know. So if you're not watching IBD Live, you really should. I think that was helpful information that we were able to pass along. And, you know, at this point, there's so much damage to be done. We need to kind of walk through it, assess it. I'm going to give you some cool homework to do, so you're going to be all ready for next week.
Exactly. Yeah, there's a lot to unpack here. We'll get to your charts soon, Webby, but just for everyone, let's put some numbers to the damage here today. The NASDAQ down over 2%, the S&P 500 down about 0.9%. We did have the Dow in the green today, up about 0.6%, but it's been pretty weak. So it wasn't really meaningful, at least in my view, seeing an update today with where it is in relation to the chart. And the Russell 2000 also up fractionally. For the week, we can also take a look at the NASDAQ. Just look at that bar. That really stands out, down about 5.5% for the week on the tech-heavy index, ahead of next week's big earnings reports for the tech sector. And here's the S&P 500 down 3% for the week. So, I mean, Webby, we've had this power trend, this steady, strong move up since early November. I mean, it had to come to an end at some point, I guess. It's never fun when it does, but there have been clues along the way.
Yeah, I was hoping it would last longer. You always do. But look, the power trend is over. When the 21-day, there's several ways for it to turn off, but the main way is how it turned off this week with your 21-day, which is your green line, going through your 50-day. So, you know, we had a nice long power trend, and then it is now over. So at this point, what we're doing is we're going to wait for a rally day. So any strong up day, or really any day that's up, or a down day that closes in the upper half of the range, we consider that a day one rally day, or a pink rally day if it's down on the day. And then we wait four or more days after that for that follow-on move, what Bill called it, the follow-through day, where you have another big advance, and then that kind of changes the trend. So for now, the trend is down, I mean, decisively down in the short term, but our power trend is done, period. The 2003 precedent is done. Now we're in this kind of danger zone post expectation breaker. And again, go back and watch last week so you understand the importance of the expectation breaker. And just in a nutshell, for those who don't have time, that blue day that we had on Thursday, that gave us the expectation that we were going to move higher, clear expectation. In fact, pull up FNGS, which is those are your big mega caps. That was breaking out. So your expectation after that is that you're going to advance right away. The next day we came down, of course, that was the news from overseas, plus some Fed talk. So that broke our expectation. And when you break your expectation like that, you have to become more defensive quickly.
Right. So, exactly.
Yeah. And then we got that gap up on Monday, which was kind of your gift to sell into. And my theory, I have no way to prove it, but the institutions realize they have a lot of selling to do. So they go in there and they kind of prop up the futures so they can get out at better levels. and then they commence their selling. Just total conspiracy theory. I've got my aluminum foil over there and you know, tin cap. So
no, I mean, that was spot on guidance that you gave the IBD Live audience Monday morning out of the gate. That's the first thing you led with. We have it on tape. And that was just really
spot on. I think I tweeted it out too. I tend to tweet often.
Okay. So we have it in, we have it on tape and in writing. Even better. So yeah, I mean, in terms of reducing exposure, looking incrementally, also knowing your time frame, right? And your trading style, and really what are the stocks in your portfolio doing, right? So they go hand in hand, the index work and the stock level work. And we'll get more into some stocks later. But how about we take a look now at some regression channels just to further emphasize this change in trend?
Sure. Let me know when you can see the spiders on my trade station.
We are about to pull it up. Here it is now. Go for it.
Okay. So just a refresher, this is the regression channel that we had talked about before that was already broken last week on the spiders. And you can see why it's so important to lay that on your chart, because visually you can see that the character has changed, because now you're living underneath that. And we've been, you know, look at all those red candles or pink candles in a row. You know, that's where you're opening higher than where you close. The blue candles are in reverse. So you open weak and you close strong. So blue candles are a sign of a healthy, good market, and the pink ones are negative. So this is decisively below that. Let's also look at the composite. So here's the NASDAQ, same thing, even more damage there. And I like to look at the RSP. And this, a lot of people don't look at, but this is the equal weight of the spiders. So, you know, every stock in the S&P 500 equally weighted. So the Microsofts and the Apples are worth the same as the smaller one. So it's a broad gauge, and it gives you, you know, really a sense of breadth. And what's notable is we have our first blue bar on here in several, where we actually close stronger than we open. So that's saying that on the on a broad level, things are getting better than what the mega caps are doing. Still looks terrible. I mean, and I threw the regression on there, and all with the same dates. And look, we are now in a downtrend, but you know, at least that's a little glimmer of where is the strength going, and it's more broadening out. And we're going to talk about that at the end with some of the screens and where to find that strength.
Yeah. So right now the regression channel clearly broken, and some early tells even in there too, coupled with last Friday's expectation breaker slice below the 50-day line. And we just have really had a hard time, I guess, until today with RSP, have had a hard time finding a bottom. So
exactly.
Yeah. We have to try to see some sort of rally attempt, but who knows when we'll get that. Now we want to take a look at this 50% retracement concept, Webby, that you've talked about on IBD Live this week. So if you start with that high, going back to before the three waves down last summer and the breakout, so to the highs, 50% retracement to that. So we're basically at that point now here on SPY.
Yeah. So one of my favorite things to do is just to look at 50% retracements on all things from intraday stocks or intraday charts all the way up to monthly. And it's just the concept of, you know, when something has a move, it's entitled to give back half of that before you know anything is wrong with it. So if you measure the move from here, and this is an art, not a science, of where you start your points, with this left side high of that basing area with those three waves down that we had up to our recent peak, we're almost there on spiders. So the spiders are still holding up relatively well compared to the composite. And look at that, it broke right through it. So basically the same dates, but you went right through it, is another sign of weakness. If you didn't, you know, if you couldn't tell by today's action, we're in a weak position. But why you look at this is if we, let's say we get some positive news over the weekend, or, you know, we have some good earnings reports next week and we start moving up, you want to start living up above this 50% retracement. And on the NASDAQ, it's, you know, 15,492. And on spiders, that was 491.82. So you want to stay above that on the spiders, or get back above it on the NASDAQ, and then more importantly, staying above that. And so that's kind of is very important, because psychologically you're either in a position of strength or weakness. So NASDAQ is certainly weak, and SPY is like just teetering on that.
Right. And we've also talked about that 500 level for SPY coinciding with 5,000 on the index. Can you talk about that as well, Webby, here? So not only wanting to, which brings us to these levels here that you have. So not only wanting to live above that 50% retracement, but also you've talked about 500 being a level that you were watching, and we clearly could not hold that today.
Yeah, that was what was keeping me having a little bit of faith. I was running on faith that we were, that 2003 precedent was going to hold. But at this point, now that it really was that 500 level with 5,000 on the on the S&P 500, it's meaningless, but everyone looks at it. So then that adds meaning to it. So once right. It broke and stayed below that today, it's like, okay, all bets are off. This thing is going to get ugly. And it certainly did. Yeah. So you always want to pay attention to levels like that. It was just the same way with the, and we talked about this before, of the 50 day, which is this red line here, is everyone looks at that and becomes self-fulfilling. If people don't go in and support it, then you're going to have more selling. And so we saw that there. This 504.91 was our first level that we thought, you know, we were hoping was going to hold. It didn't hold. It broke through it. Now our next level is the 490.72. I'm just using the low of February 13th. I've added a few new ones. This was the same one that we had from last week with the low from January 31st, which corresponds to 482. So why these levels are important is this is just places where it should at least pause and stop going down as quickly. Doesn't mean it won't continue to go down, but you want to see when a stock or an index hits an important level, how does it handle itself there? If it slices through it, then you've got a lot more selling that's going to happen. If it just kind of slows down and meanders, that there's hope there that it's starting to get support. So a few more way down here, and look what that is. It's coinciding. This last one, the 466.43, is almost at the same place as where the 200-day line is. So I'm just using the lows from early in January, and we can toggle over to the composite and see where we slice through that.
Like butter.
Like butter. Do you see anything good on there?
Is there a 5115, 150 that's marked?
No, there's just nothing good about that.
That would be the only good
thing. It was a trick question. There's nothing.
I know.
There's
nothing. I was trying to make a joke.
I know. What is this 5150 I keep hearing about? I'll have to look into that.
Yeah, we need a podcast on it, I guess.
Maybe. So all the way down here, the bad part is this last level, the January 5th low, is, you know, it's so far down there that it's actually underneath the 200 days. So you could actually make an argument for that being good or bad, but I'm looking at it as kind of bad, because if it comes down and tests that, then you're going to be underneath the 200 day. And one of the most important things in technical analysis is the 200 day, because everyone looks at that. You need to stay above that 200 day to really stay in a bullish phase. So right now, we're not in a bear market. We are in a correction. We don't know, that could lead to a bear market, or this just could be a run-of-the-mill correction. So these are the levels that you want to look at and focus on. But regardless of what percent we would come off, if you get underneath your 200-day and stay under there, that's bad across the board. And that almost always coincides with bear markets.
Yeah. That's what we saw in 2022. So, yeah. a recent example there. Okay, well, there's more fun now, and we are going to switch gears here. And Webby, since you've come back to IBD, you've talked a lot about ATR, or the average true range, being something that you look at on the index level, but also for individual stocks. So now let's pivot on over to TradingView, where you have some ATR analysis for the indexes.
Yeah. So down here at the bottom, this is just a new indicator that I've built. And it's a different way of looking at things that your eyes are already seeing. So your eyes are seeing, you know, an uptrend on the spiders and then these pullbacks along the way. But it's really hard to measure, well, how much is that off of its high? And so you could do this in percent off high, but what I like to do is convert that into the ATR, the average true range. So when you compare instruments, whether it's a high octane stock, a slow sleepy stock, or you know any ETFs that you know are fast or slow, you're looking at the ATRs. How many ATRs off your high are you? And I found that I'm still working on this, but the four ATRs off your high is kind of a key level where you change from being in a general uptrend to something to be a little bit more cautious about. And so this green area shows this is where you're four or less ATRs off your high. And so just focus on this line on this chart here. And this is just telling you how many ATRs you are off your high. So how much of your average trading range are you off of your peak? And this week, we've now gone through the green area into the yellow area, telling you that this is no longer normal, that is more severe. Besides just the levels, you can look at itself, like its history. So it came down here, kind of stopped around almost like, you know, 2.7 or so ATRs off, stopped around the same point there. I thought it was going to stop here because that would have been normal. But then with that expectation breaker, it broke down from there. Let's look and see what the composite, the NASDAQ, looks like for the same thing. And again, its first bounce, it came right down to four ATRs off the peak and bounced up. That's normal. The people that like to buy the dip, this is kind of how you would do that. When it comes off to a normal level and then starts, I don't like buying the dips when it's coming down, but after it starts rounding out and showing some strength. So yeah, you'd be buying it more over here.
So if you use this in a bounce there in conjunction with the 21 day, in conjunction with the power trend, right? It gives you just like an extra data point to make trading decisions off of, it sounds like.
Exactly. And you're already kind of seeing this, you know, but on a subconscious level. And so this is just putting those into, you know, cold hard facts of numbers. And also, so you really can't argue with it. Is it doing something different or not? And I always like to say, you know, normal or abnormal. That's what your focus is. This is abnormal. This is an abnormal break. We're now into this yellow zone, which means an intermediate correction. If it gets down here, you're more, you know, into bear market type of activity. And I wanted to look in, since we were talking about the precedent, I'm just going to toggle over to 2003. We're not going to belabor this too much. But this was your bottom in 2002. This is the NASDAQ composite. You know, you had way over here, you had the bubble burst, came way down. Here's October of 2002. Then you're three waves down. This is in the March of 2003. And this here, this was a precedent that we thought was going to hold. And you can see this line, it just dipped just under four ATRs and then bounced. That's what we thought was going to happen, but it didn't. Back then, it ran up and you can see that it kept on, you know, now we're into the 2004 timeframe. And you can see that it kept on bouncing, finding support at four ATRs, almost four. And then at this point, it broke and changed character. So you're always looking for that change of character. And then that transpired into more selling. So this is what we could be in for.
That's what I was going to ask you.
Yeah.
Should we be in for some of this a choppy sideways to down kind of thing from here?
Absolutely. So we don't predict, we just interpret. And that's right. What Bill told us to do is, okay, what are the facts? The facts are our precedent is broken. The power mm-hmm. trend is over. We have a, enough distribution, to kill any type of rally. And now we need a follow through day. So it's kind of simple at this point. This is, and we can go over to market surge whenever you want. I can stop sharing.
Great. We'll wait to stop sharing. And then we're going to switch over to market surge and we can continue our conversation about the facts that you were laying out for us. So stepping aside, right? We've been getting all of these signals to reduce exposure. And so now we got to wait for better conditions.
Yeah. But what if you study history, you'll realize that in bull markets, you always have intermediate corrections along the way. You don't go straight up the whole way. This is normal. At this point, it's a bad break and you should be very light in the market or maybe even if you're very active, maybe even short. But this is the time to prepare for our next uptrend. Because we have earnings right around the corner. Really, the market needs to deal with what the Fed is telling us. Right?
That's what I was going to bring up too. Yeah, because we have this changing macro landscape, and not that that's driving our trading decisions, but it's a part of the awareness, right? Because what happened in late October, early November, it was fueled in part, right, Webby, by that shifting conversation about the Fed's path, pausing rate hikes, moving towards rate cuts. And now it seems like the goalposts keep moving, or, whether it's the sticky inflation or just whatever that decision is, the market's tuning into that.
Yeah. So I found it a bit strange because Powell had been kind of laying out that he was going to do what he's pretty much saying he's going to do for quite some time, but the market, by looking at like the CME, the futures, the Fed fund futures, the market was at a different place than he was. And, that's just the facts. And so now they're finally realizing, okay, he is serious. He is going to keep the interest rates where he said he was going to. You just have to listen to him. And you also, as I've mentioned many times, read the Volcker book, which is his favorite. I believe it's called Keeping At It. I've read it a few times, and that's kind of his game plan, in my opinion. And he's pretty much said that. So the market just needs to factor that in. Now, maybe it factored it in today. Maybe it's going to take another 5-10% off the top before they factor it in, but eventually they will. And I'll say, okay, now that's in. And all the news that we have overseas, like I wouldn't get hung up on the news overseas, because if the market was in a healthy place, it would just blow that off and it would just move up without it. Markets always climb, bull markets climb a wall.
Well, speaking of 03.
Exactly. You had a lot of things going on without, getting deep in the woods. A lot going on in every bull market. If you just looked at the news or what the bonds were doing or anything on the outside, it can throw you off. So just focus in on what the instrument is that you're concerned about. And for us, since we're stock traders, we're concerned about the stock market. So look at your individual stocks. And then most importantly, look at what the averages are doing. And that's just telling you, it's been warning you ever since that expectation breaker last Friday. And this is, looks pretty ugly at the moment, but it can turn around is as quick as 4 days. So don't be super bearish. Yeah. Certainly can't be bullish in the short term right here. You can be bullish in the intermediate and long term. But right now, you're underneath your 50, your 21's underneath your 50, your 10's underneath your 50, and you had some bad breaks here.
Yeah.
A quick little bounce, oversold bounce, can always happen.
Right.
If those take place and you, for some reason, haven't done enough selling, take that opportunity to sell anything that you're feeling pressure that maybe you bought out of position. If you're down on it, you mm-hmm. don't want to own anything that you're down on at this point, because that could get really ugly for you. So as the quickest thing you can do is just sell anything that you're at a loss on.
Yes. Really wise words, Webby. I hear you. I feel that. Speaking of taking a look at the stocks, NVIDIA, that has been a focus for us, for a lot of investors in this market. And earlier this week, and I think last week's show, actually, this too, we were talking about, okay, this is a signal to watch. And Webby, I don't know about you, but I think we were given a pretty clear signal here today about the health or lack thereof in the market. If your leading name is going to crumble like this, 10% below a lot of key levels.
Yeah. And so another thing that, you know, Bill always had us focus on is the leading stocks. But I would say in this market, this is the leading stock. There's really only one that really represented AI and the whole theme there. And if that's down 10% on the day, you know, anything that's not the leading stock is in a really bad situation. So forget if you own this or don't own this. You're at this point, you're interpreting this based off of what the general market is doing. And as a guide, if the leading stock is breaking like this, you really need to be defensive, because sure, this could base build, but that's a lot of damage. And breaking through the psychological level of 800, like it wasn't even there. And, you know, really yesterday's low should have held if this stock was going to be okay, because that was your first pullback to your 10 week and your 50 day, which is normal. That's what happens. And that's what everyone should do, is go and study past leaders. As it came into that, that was normal action. Today was your abnormal break of it. Of course, you had your big downside reversal at the peak, but if you study history, those happen all the time. You have a downside reversal, puts in a little time, moves higher. You don't want to get carried away and get too worried about those downside reversals, or you'll never be in something for a bigger move. Let's go to the weekly, because this is an important concept. And we could go over the relative strength line stuff if you want to show them where that
is. It. Yeah, so we've got the RS line and the moving averages. And if you want to add those to your market surge charts, you click on the wrench, and then under custom chart elements, you go to relative strength line. And then on the daily, weekly, and monthly timeframes, we've got the RS and the RS2. So on this weekly timeframe here for the orange or the gold RS line, we've got an 8 week. And then for the RS2 on the weekly, we've got a 21 week. And if you want to screen grab these settings or scribble them down, here they are for you. But back to you, Webby. I mean, looking at the weekly time frame for these RS moving averages with the leaders seems like a good time frame to be using for a lot of growth IBD style traders.
Exactly. And on a podcast, not the podcast I did this week, but a couple of weeks back with Justin and Arusha, which you can find on YouTube or on our website, that I went over these rules, holding rules, for those of you who are in NVIDIA with a low cost basis. So the rules I'm going to talk about just briefly are only if you've got a big gain in it, not if you have a loss. So this is, you know, your cost basis is $500 or under, that when that RS line goes through your moving average the first time, as it did this week, and it cracked right through it, that you sell some of your core position. Now, you would have already sold. Now, core position is just that the amount of your account that you're just trying to hold on for the big move. The rest of it, you're just, you know, trading around. You could be trading offensive sell signals or what have you. But just that little bit of your account that you're trying to hold for a big move, this is your first signal that some of that needs to be sold. And the way it did it, you would sell more than normal with this action. Now, that's I call that the quick, because Bill's my favorite line in Bill's book was the quick and the dead. So that's the quick move, and you sell some. Now, if next week, if that RS line is lower than where it is right now, if it bounces up a little and still doesn't make it above the moving average line, you don't have to sell. But if it goes lower than this by Friday, then that's called the quicksand, where it could just gradually, all your gains could go away. So you need to sell more. Now, if that slices through your 21 week right there, then you sell the whole thing. And don't use this without studying it. Study it on past leaders and see how it works so you understand its strengths and weaknesses. The point is to try to hold on to a leader in using this technique. So it's the quicksand, and the last one, I just named it the Grateful Dead. It's a little goofy, I'm a deadhead, but I put it in there to just make sure people remembered it. Like, okay, this is very significant. If that RS line goes through that blue line, that's telling you this is no longer a leader by definition, because it's now lagging the general market. I hope that made some sense.
Yeah, it definitely does. And I guess my question for you, Webby, would be, are there any times where, you know, like rules like the 8-week hold rule? Well, that's, you know, that's a guideline, not a firm thing. There's other, you know, nuances to it. Or, you know, is it an A-plus stock or is it not? What's the market doing? How much is it giving back? How is it giving it back? All that. So what about a bad break like this? It seems like, you know, maybe in a typical circumstance, you would be selling in thirds, but it sounded like you said, because of the way it did it, you'd probably be wanting to sell more, even though it hasn't hit the Grateful deadline.
Yeah, because of, and you put that perfectly, because of how it did it and the fact that your RS line is so much further. Let me step back. If we had this type of price action, but our RS line was still holding above that, you wouldn't have to do any action. It wouldn't have to take any action. But what this is telling you is it's confirming your price action, your weakness in your price action, because it sold off more than the market, dramatically more than the market. That's why it came down so much. So really what you could have been doing today is doing your quick and your quicksand today. That would have been legitimate because of the amount that it came through, the angle of descent, you know, combined with everything else. But with that said, holding that last, even though to me it looks like it's going to trigger that next week, the reason why I came up with this rule is lots of times along the way, these big leaders will look ugly. And Bill would say that. I remember him sitting down with a green model book with me one day, and he turned page after page. He goes, "See, Mike, that's where you would have been shaken out. See, you would have been shaken out." And then he wasn't meaning me, he was meaning anybody.
Yeah.
That there was like, the charts will do such poor action that then it really translates into where your cost basis is. Can you sustain that? And that's why this is a holding rule for a winning position. You never, ever use it if you're down. Never say, "Oh, well, it's still above the Grateful Dead line, so I'm going to hold," if you're at a loss or even a tiny gain. This is for really to try to have a big move.
Exactly. Okay. Well, let's also take a look at SMCI, because this was a bad week. There's no sugarcoating it here. Down more than 20% for the week. Basically, all of that came today. And I know, Mike, rewinding the clock here a little bit, this was a stock that was looking similar to Axon or Taser back in the day. And so we have a bull market precedent that's broken and an Axon precedent here that is broken.
Yeah. So I've been saying that for quite some time, that this one was very similar to Axon, to the Taser move, which was one of the biggest moves that we've ever seen out of any model book stocks. And so you should go back and study that in that 03 timeframe and do it day by day. And what you'll find is it never acted like this. during that move this week. Now you'll go in and let's go back to the SMCI on today's chart.
Great.
You'll see things like that terrible, scary downside reversal there. You'll see that in there. That is normal. If you study history, the biggest ones will be able to withstand that and then move higher. But this changed. So this week I was back in it because I thought it was going to, you know, take back off through 1,000 and continue its advance because it was its first pullback to the 10-week line. But yesterday I had to sell it because it broke the 50-day. There was no way to justify holding it at that point. And so I got chopped up in this, kept on trying to get a position in it, but luckily wasn't in it for today because yesterday it was telling you this was acting differently than the precedent. So your precedent was broken. And what I mean by that is it was never underneath the 50-day during its move, the axon. And so this now changed character. And so it was like, you know what, this thing is so volatile, I'm just going to have to be willing to, you know, pay up well over 1,000 if I was going to buy it back.
And so it's coupled with a weakening market, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so you have that as your backdrop too.
Exactly. So you have to look at both of the things. And this is, you know, a 23% move in this is somewhat what you would expect when it breaks like this, because this is also a shorting type of pattern. So without getting into it, it's kind of, you know, it's like a head and shoulders top where your left shoulder is the right there. That's your head. And then you have your right shoulder. So anybody who shorts would have been all over this, probably starting to short it 2 days ago as it failed at 1,000, probably adding to it yesterday on a short and then pressing that hard today. So when you're looking at a chart, you always want to see how are the bears looking at it and then how are the bulls looking at it. And when that happened, it was like, okay, you know, the bears are going to take control, and they just pounced on it. So that precedent's done. So I'm done watching this stock for quite some time. I will be fine getting back into it months from now. But with this action, that's not normal. Now, of course, we don't know what the earnings are going to be, and you could have a big move up on the earnings. But if you have a big move up and for some reason you're still in it, I would probably take that opportunity to lighten up, if not get out. Because when a stock breaks like this, it's telling you there's a lot of damage and you just need time for it to mend itself. The players in there need to start feeling comfortable with it. And it's just way too volatile and damaged and looks pretty spooky.
Yeah. Okay. We have one more stock that we're going to quickly look at. And then we've got two screens that we want to look at. One showing where the strength is, where the money's flowing, and then some homework, of course, in true Webby fashion. But SFM, this came up on your screens, Webby, and look at that. We've got an RS line at new highs. So, I mean, that's definitely something we want to be paying attention to all the time, what's showing relative strength, but especially in a weak tape, what are the stocks that are holding up and looking the strongest? And this looks pretty impressive here.
Yeah. So if you were the type of trader to just completely ignore the general market, which I could see someone making an argument for that. If you were just trading the stock, you would have been buying this today because it's pretty much done everything right. How deep is that base?
Yes. 8%.
I mean, doesn't get tighter than that. Held up above its 50-day RS line at new highs, like you said. And this is really already broke out through its alternative pivot. So I wouldn't be buying anything in this environment, but I'm watching that to see how the breakouts end up working. Does this just fail on Monday like everything else is failing? Or is that money coming out of the NVIDIAs and the SMCIs and going into these kind of slower kind of the names that people really aren't looking at? So many times when you're looking at stocks, it's not really to buy, but to get information. Yeah. And that's what this is. This is helpful information, just like we looked at the CPNG the other day and saying, okay, we were going to use that as a guide for the market. That one was able to hold up. So we want to see, is there this move, as we saw with the RSP starting to, in the very short term, at least show a little signs of some relative strength versus the other indices, are we going to see things broadening out where they're just selling the NVIDIAs and the Microsofts of the world and moving over into these or not? So we just keep an open mind.
Absolutely. Okay, let's go to some screens, why don't we?
Why not?
So let's start with this closing range screen, Webby, and I'm going to open edit so people can see the screening parameters. So do you just want to quickly run through those parameters?
Yeah, and so I built this. Please go ahead and build this in your own market cert, and always feel free when I share screens to modify them. I built this one today. I modify things all the time, but this is as a guide to start with. First, you always want to exclude ETFs and closed-end funds. Have a basic price parameter. I'll either use 10 or 20 bucks. Then for volume, I like to use dollar volume. Mm-hmm. So that's about a bare bones, you know, 25 million or more. Most people should probably bump that up to 100 million or more. But I wanted to just, since it was slim pickings, I brought this down to a bare minimum. And then above the 200, above the 50, and then the composite rating of 88 or higher, you know, I created the composite rating 2 decades ago, and it really became a favorite of Bill's ratings, and his thing was 88 or higher. That was something that he came up with. I will sometimes dip down below that for various reasons, but the 88, it is an important level, and it's something that he used. In fact, he told me when it was creating stuff for him that he didn't want me to even show him anything unless it had a composite rating of 88 or higher. So there's meaning there. And then the most important thing on here is the daily closing range, 70 or higher, showing that it's closed in the upper part of the range and you know, a little bit more than the upper part. So there's only 47 names. That won't take you long to go through. And a lot of this is just seeing, and the Sprouts was in there. Let's look at Allstate real quick, the second one. Sure.
And when you're going through these, Webby, how would you sort this?
With this particular screen today, I would do either percent change on the day, or I would do the closing range and from the best to the worst. So yeah, let's look at AXP. That's at the top.
Okay. And yeah, Allstate was another one we covered on IB Live. But yeah, AXP had a really strong finish today.
Yeah. And so the earnings are behind it now. So that risk is off the table. And it was able to move, you know, find support at its 50-day and then advance up. So this is just telling you where the money's flowing. There's nothing really dynamic about American Express, in my opinion. But the big funds have to hide somewhere. So as you go through this, you want to be asking yourself, is the money flowing into some hot new sector, non-AI sector, or is it going into money that's the big institutions are hiding? And based off of the type of stocks that are making it through this, for the most part, you're just seeing defensive plays. So yeah, that's another tell of how weak the market is. Because look at all those names. Those are all are defensive type of mm-hmm. plays. Let's pull up the Mr. Cooper.
Yeah. One.
You know, so that's, you know, relatively tight. You get a nice RS line on there. But, mm-hmm. You know, these are nice to have in your portfolio. I wouldn't really be buying anything right now. But if you were, you know, this is something nice because when you know, the SMCIs are down 20-something% and the NVIDIAs are down 10%, you've got something like this that has a chance of maybe only being down a little bit, or in this case, up a couple of percent.
Yeah. Okay. Let's now go to the screen that you built for us, S&T Weekend Wide. So we're going to do an open edit, and there are a number of the same parameters. Where we differ, though, is instead of using the closing range of 70%, we've got above the 21 day.
Yes. And I also dropped the composite out of this
one. And the composite's out of this too.
So this is wide. So we're going into the great wide open of any type of stock, whether it's has fundamentals or not, that match the type of stocks that we're looking for. But this by definition, these are now at this moment in time leading because they're above their 50, they're above their 200 day, and they're above their 21 day. Doesn't mean they are a leader, but they are leading because they're holding up better mm-hmm. than other things. And utilities, when you see utilities launching, that is a sign that the institutions are selling off their high octane yeah. Names, and they're having to go in. And if people don't understand that concept, it's important. Mutual funds have a mandate for the most part to stay about 95% invested. So they can't go to cash the way we can go to cash or the way most hedge funds can go to cash or go short. They have to stay invested. So they have to move their money somewhere. So this is another way of gauging the health of the market. You don't want to see utilities doing well. I saw a lot of banks in there, mm-hmm. you know. So this is your homework. Please do it. Don't be tardy. This is
How would you sort this one? Would you sort it by, because you said not all of them are leaders. So would the composite rating help with getting the leaders to the top? Or if you're going to look at all of them, if you're going to do your homework, you got to look at all of them anyway. But
I would do it in two different ways. I would sort it by an industry group measure. You can use the industry group rank, or I even use the broad sectors, just an alphabetical. I prefer the broad sectors over the industry groups. That's the IBD sector, the 33. Right. And then I do the composite rating as a secondary sort. So if people need help with that, they can, you know, contact our customer service folks.
Scott's cell number is, no, I'm just kidding.
His cell phone? You're going to get that out of what? I will do that. No, Scott's a nice guy. I would never do that to him.
Hey, Scott.
He's working right now. I'm sure he's not listening. But
he has his own video that he does on Friday afternoon. So I guess he's like our competition, I guess.
We should have him on sometime and cross-pollinate.
There you go. But
anyways, just to recap, sort by sector, broad sector first, mm-hmm. and then the composite rating is a secondary sort, because mm-hmm. then you'll look at all the same types of stocks together and then the best ones by composite first. Again, that's just something, a technique mm-hmm. that I borrowed from Bill. He'd been doing that with the institutional books since really before I was born, I think. So that's a long time ago.
And you can do that in customized column layout. And I'm going to do that before I do my homework this weekend. Okay, Webby.
Look at the Growth 250. That's another place you want to look at the Growth 250 every single weekend.
Yes, yes. Good call. All right. So let's look ahead to next week. So now we have all this context. We had an expectation breaker last week. We had a confirmation of the weakness this week. We had a bull market precedent that has now broken wide open. NVIDIA breaking, SMCI really breaking, a lot of defensive stuff rotating into the strength areas. So let's look ahead to next week. We do all of our homework. What mm-hmm. should we be focused on? Just give us like our quick summary of what to do now.
Okay. What you do now is you wait and you watch. Okay. You build your watch list. You wait, you watch, you pay attention to where the action is moving. So you don't go off on vacation and turn off the machines. This is critical time because you'll be setting it yourself up for the next move higher, because it could happen a week from now. It could happen next Friday, next Thursday, at the end of next week or the week after that. You don't know. I don't know. So you want to be prepared. And the way to do that is observing what's going on, what is being sold off, what's finding support at logical areas. You know, how does NVIDIA play itself out? Does it base? Does it just snap right back? Or is it done? You know, we don't know. And so have an open mind. Don't plant your flag down and say, I love NVIDIA. It's the best thing in the world. I'm going to hold it no matter what. Have an exit plan. You don't have to use the quicksand and the Grateful Dead rules. You can use whatever you've back tested that you believe in, but have an exit strategy for anything that you still have in your account. Rate all of your stocks from your best to your worst. I like to rate them A through C. There's a podcast on that. You can just search for, you know, grading your stocks And there, you know, I walk through, you know, how I like to do that. So that's your game plan for anything you're still holding. Plus your watch list, you want to rate those, because when the market does turn, and it will, what happens a lot of times is everything breaks out at the same time. And then you're like, oh no, what do I buy? You buy your A's first, then you buy your B's. If you still have room in your account, then you can reach down to your C's. So this is the game plan time. This is time to do your research so you're ready. Also, this week I did that a podcast with Justin and Arusha. And in the first segment, we went over some potential precedents that we're going to be, Justin and I are going to be researching for power trends. Now, this power trend is over, but sometimes what will happen is the power trend will be over, and then it, you know, a week or two later, it'll the 21 day will move back above your 50 day, and then you have some other things that have to happen before the power trend resumes. So don't think, okay, this bull market is over. We're in a corrective phase. We're going into intermediate correction, it appears. And so we're just going to have to, you know, wait it out and do it day by day. Be Gumby, be flexible, and have fun with it. This is fun. You know, I don't care. I'm sure everyone got beat up this week. It's part of the game. You're going to have great weeks. You're going to have terrible weeks and everything in between. Make sure you're having fun with it. Otherwise, dial back what you have in your trading account. If the pressure is too much for you, let's say round number, you're trading $1,000, and you every night you're going to bed worrying about your account, take some money out and set it aside, put it in a different account and trade with less money. Make sure it's fun. Otherwise you're going to, you know, you're going to give up on trading and you're going to give up on all these opportunities.
Yeah. We don't want that. Even weeks like this are difficult, but hopefully we're arming the audience with the tools they need, to have a rules-based system and use risk management as, you know, one of the core pillars, so to speak, of their investing strategy. And that's what we're all about here at IABD. Well, thank you so much, Webby. We know we could go on and on. If only you stopped talking at have fun with it, it would have been exactly 51 minutes and 50 seconds. But alas, we're a little bit over that.
I ruined it. Next week. There's always next week, Allie.
Sometime. There's always next week. We'll nail it one of these days. We'll have a stick landing on that. But always fun chatting with you. And something that has helped me is knowing you can always buy something back, right? So instead of just the hoping for a bounce or this or that, just follow your rules, even if it's hard. But you can always buy something back. So there will be those opportunities down the road.
One last bit of homework. What I would suggest is people get Market Wizards, get any one of the books. There's a series of them. Bill and David Ryan were in the very first one. That's a great one. But he has an entire series. Get it on Audible. You have a bunch of different traders talking about, you know, from commodity traders to option people to stock traders to people like Bill, and find what really resonates with you. And I learned from every single trader in them. I listened to them over and over and over again, and you can never get enough of them. So that's your weekend homework. I'm giving out a lot of homework.
Yeah. Woo, man, it's like our midterms coming up or something. I don't know. All right. Well, thanks so much. And we'll see everyone back here next week for our Friday Stock Market Today with Mike Webster. Thanks for watching. This show is for informational and educational purposes only, and nothing should be construed as a recommendation to buy, hold, or sell any securities. Any securities and investment strategies discussed may not be suitable for all investors. Make sure to consider consulting with your financial advisor before making investment decisions.